Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and thank you for tuning in and joining us today. And we have Bob and Mary Griswold with us.
Hello.
Hello.
And if you aren't familiar with rightwinggranny.com, that's Mary's blog, and you could probably check that out. It's a lot of links to a lot of good information out there. We have Melissa Potter with us.
Hello.
We have Diane Ruffino from Pitt County.
Hello, hello.
And we have former 3rd District House Republican GOP Representative Michael Speciale.
Hello.
Are you sure you were a representative? That's what you went up there for anyway, right?
No, I was representative, believe me.
I agree with you, and we think you did a great job. But you're not here because of that tonight. You're here because you are no longer an elected official. And rather than buying a motorhome and taking off across the country, you've decided to take on another obligation, and that's the president of the God and Country Christian Alliance. So what prompted you to accept that position?
Well, when I left the General Assembly, I was trying to think of what it is I wanted to do, if I even wanted to do anything. And I don't know what it was. It just God and Country, it had to do something with God and Country. That was what was in my mind. And I didn't even think of the organization that's even named God and Country. It didn't even pop in. But then the chairman at that time, Jerry Schill, and Pastor Kaur, who was the vice chairman, came, talked to me about it. And I said, no, I don't know that I want to get knee deep in something like that. But then they came to the house with pizza a couple weeks later. So I figured,
you can be bought.
By that point, I had thought about it and realized that, this is the perfect thing for me to be doing the way I feel. I'm very, to me, God and Country is inexplicably intertwined.
Yes.
And it needs to be explained. Our youth need to understand that. Actually, a lot of folks in this country, young and older, need to understand that there is no separation of church and state. There's no such thing.
Well, there's been a lot of effort over the past few decades into tearing that apart and taking God out of education and out of our government and everything else. So, it's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it, and I think you're just the man for it. And to tell people a little bit about the God and Country Christian Alliance, it started out, it was
Craven-Pamlico Christian Coalition.
Craven-Pamlico Christian Coalition, and for many years it operated under that name, and then the name was changed to the God and Country Christian Alliance.
Our focus changed as well.
Well, tell us about that.
Well, when they started, it was mostly it was one or two issues. I can't even remember what they were. It's been so long, but we've kind of broadened our mission now, and it's to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern, to restore to all levels of government the Judeo-Christian values upon which the nation was founded, and to encourage and activate pro-family voters. When they were initially founded, it was a one issue.
Right.
I think it had something to do with the schools, but I can't remember.
Okay. Well, this is a pretty good mission statement there. Inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. How do you do that?
Education, outreach, getting out there. We go out around the holidays. We go out and we dress up our trailer that we have. July 4th, we do the Constitution, get out there and read it, something I've been doing for years anyway. Christmas, we go to the park, we dress up the trailer, read Luke. Easter, we've got a program that we do, and we're just getting out there, and slowly we're building what we're doing, and we intend to continue to interact more and more, get more pastors involved. The whole point is to get Christians involved in their government.
Right.
This idea that, government does not belong in the church, but there's nothing prohibiting the church from being involved in government. As a matter of fact, they need to be. The
right.
church has always, the Christians have always been involved in government, have always been strong players, and so they need to get involved.
Yeah, I agree. The Johnson Amendment has been misused and abused for ever since it was implemented. It hamstrung the pastors in the pulpit because they were afraid of retribution from the government if they even talked about politics.
It was a scare tactic.
It was, but to this date, there's been no churches that have been prosecuted or anything for violation of Johnson Amendment, because all it prevents you from doing is endorsing candidates from the pulpit. And there's even churches that do that. But
just think that it's what you're saying with the getting the church back into it. You know, when we see where there was such an effort to get church out of our children's lives and no longer front and center in that moral compass, I mean, that's when the school shootings have gotten crazy. That's when teen suicide has gone out. That's when the LGBT XYZ exploded. This gender identity, I mean, all of this is the pure evil that's been let in, and it's because of legislation. So if you are a Christian and you do, you can't just protect your bubble because it's coming for your bubble, you know.
Right.
So that's, we have to grow these organizations. Like,
well, part of the responsibility of a Christian is to ensure that you have Christian government, and you can't do that if you're not involved in the process.
That's right.
If you don't know who the candidates are, if you haven't been involved in vetting them or, you know, getting to know them, and you're just out there voting for whoever's on the ballot and you don't know anything about them, then you're not fulfilling your Christian duties.
Rick, I just want to say I'm Catholic, and I should go to the Catholic Church on Sundays, but I've chosen to go to the Baptist Church in town. And for the very reason you're talking about, this Baptist church, the pastor, Tim Butler, he does not care about the Johnson Amendment. And he believes it's a mission of his church to advance Christian values. And he absolutely every Sunday talks about politics, talks about the need to, oppose abortion, oppose gay marriage. And he stands for what the Bible teaches, what Jesus had taught, and he's not ashamed of it. And if the members are offended, he just says, don't come back, you know.
The founder of this organization, the God and Country Christian Alliance, Walter Leek, was a preacher, and he did not pull any punches. For those that know Walter Leek, it was always interesting when you turned on the TV and you saw that he was being interviewed. You couldn't walk away because you had no idea what he was going to say. He did not pull his punches. He did not care what the repercussions were, and he would tell you in a heartbeat. But the reality is, the only thing that a preacher can't do is, according to the Johnson Amendment, is he can't stand up there and tell you who to vote for. But he can certainly tell you who stands for what.
Yep.
He can certainly, the churches need to be involved in that. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's something that...
Actually, not only can they do that, they should do that.
Exactly.
It's their responsibility.
Yeah. You know, the good old days of, you know, going to church with the family and listening to a good gospel sermon and get your singing done and going out for chicken afterwards, it's over. You know, it's we've lost so much of our children. We've lost so much of their innocence. And if we don't get it back through the church, through biblical teaching,
Well, that's a good point.
Get into the school and teach them what this country was founded on and by who and why, we're not going to win.
Biblical teaching. A lot of the churches aren't teaching from the Bible anymore.
Yeah.
They just aren't. Or they're selectively choosing what they want to teach.
Well, you drive around during Pride Month and see how many churches are supporting that.
Yeah.
You are not teaching from the Bible.
Last week, I saw David Barn, who founded Wall Builders. He was at People's Baptist Church, the church I go to now. And it was beyond amazing. The man has total recall. He can just rattle off biblical verses. And he gave about an hour and a half presentation on our Christian, our Christian Judeo founding, our principles, and how our founding fathers and the people back in the founding generation, they intimately knew the Bible.
Yes.
And when they talked, because they all read the Bible and it was
every day. Every
they didn't have to cite where they were getting the verses from, because everybody knew.
Yeah.
And we've, you know, we've lost that. And in fact, you know, we have all the people today saying we're not a Judeo-Christian, we're not a Christian nation.
Well, that's wrong.
We're also seeing a split between the churches who support biblical Christianity and the churches who are following the culture rather than influencing the culture. And
their
the Bible says very clearly that the church is called to be salt and light.
Right.
And some of us have kind of forgotten that.
Yeah.
You know, I, as you're mentioning back in olden days where people could quote from the Bible and understand what the Bible said, much like the Bible, the Constitution, and the Bible today, we're living on interpretations, not the original word that's there. And the original word had meaning. Those words had meaning. They had definition. They were, I'm going to say they were cut and dried. Yeah, sometimes they're up for discussion. But they're cut and dried as to what they meant, both in the Bible and in the Constitution.
Yeah.
And we've lost that. Now it's an interpretation, mostly editorial interpretation.
Right. It is. And so much of it is being changed and modified, you know, and given new meaning.
Yeah. Well, remember, when the school systems were started here, the Bible was the book that they used to learn from.
Yeah, that was their
school.
Reading primer.
A lot of your Ivy League universities were Christian colleges and universities.
Well,
Harvard, what happened?
Right. Harvard was started to train American pastors, and Yale was started for the same reason. Princeton was started by a group of people who thought Harvard and Yale had gotten too worldly.
Oh.
And you look at those three universities now, and the only reason the Christian motto is still on the gates of Harvard is because it's in stone, and it would be too expensive to get
for
rid
Harvard?
Of it. At the gate of Harvard is a Christian motto in stone when you come in.
Yeah.
We'll talk some more about that when we come back. We have to take a break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, I said that when we came back, we were going to talk some more about what you were saying with the founding of the colleges and all. What a lot of people don't realize, because they've been told that there is a separation, that's what I was thinking about that you had said earlier, Michael, the separation of church and state, which does not exist. That argument's been going on for way too long. They don't realize that not only did they read the founders, that generation, they read the Bible every day. They lived by the word. The first textbook, official textbook, was printed by the Library of Congress, and it was the Bible. Yeah. And you had your catechisms in school, and it was Bible verses that they learned how to speak, how to write, you know. And not only were they learning those things, they were learning the morality that the Bible taught. So you didn't have the discipline problems because they were getting it at home. They were getting it when they went to school. They got it in the morning. They got it in the evening. And it was a whole different world back then. And as we became getting more progressive, you know, that progress stuff, as we got more progressive, those things started getting chipped away at. And we as Christians are guilty of sitting by and letting it happen.
We let it happen.
Mm-hmm. We did not do what we didn't stand up against it. Mm-mm. And we've
we
let it
paying
in.
Attention. And we let the education system swallow right. our children.
And a lot of us, none of us are perfect, okay? And we're all sinful, and we were enamored with all the new stuff that was out, the progress, okay, we can have this and we can have that, and the movies and the TV, and you look back now and you can see where all that damage was done through those things, and we as Christians allowed it.
But the problem is when we hear the Supreme Court has ruled on something, we step back and we say, well, they ruled, and that's the law of the land. And in 1948, I think it's 1948, there's a case called Everson, and it was a case that arose from a county right near where I lived in New Jersey. Anyway, that's the case that decided and put that theme, you know, wall of separation, that, you know, that it's a legal fiction, just to, you know, cut to the chase. It's a legal fiction. No one ever, it's never been said by our founding fathers. It was taken out of context from a letter from Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist,
right? Yep.
So, but we hear that because the Supreme Court decided, so it must be, that's the law of the land. But we can't, you know, Roe versus Wade, that they got it wrong, right? But we assume, well, they're right.
See, that's another fallacy. Mm-hmm. The Supreme Court does not make law.
They sometimes... when they're not supposed to,
right?
But that's legal act. That's
right.
Judicial activism.
They issue opinions.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, that's what they do. They issue opinions. Yes, a lot of people think it's law of the land.
Yeah.
If the Supreme Court says it, that's it.
Yeah.
End of story. No, we've seen too many times.
Exactly.
Because they're imperfect, also, and those justices that are sitting there making those bad decisions, they're going to be gone someday. And as you see with Roe versus Wade, what's happened there?
We were talking about how they used the Bible in the beginning, even before we were actually a country, before we got our freedom, for the revolution, they were doing that. And so whether you were a Christian or not a Christian, you understood what was in the Bible. And it was for that reason that the founders were able to do, what is it, four handwritten pages that they did for the Constitution. When the European Union formed a few years later, they tried to do a constitution, and it was 2,200 pages.
Oh, my God.
And, of course, it never passed. And as one, having been in the legislature and understanding what it takes to get even 61 people to
agree
to support something. But the reason for that, okay, is that the European Union is secular. They're not, you know, God is not their guide. And we were able to get away with a few handwritten pages for our supreme law of our land because there were a lot of things that we understood because we all were, you know, at that time, they understood what was in the Bible. You didn't have to explain what a marriage was because everybody knew it was a man and a woman. Yeah. You didn't have to explain a lot of things.
You didn't have to explain what a woman was.
Right, exactly. So, but the further you get away from the Bible, the more we are in need of masters. And that was what was one of the founders said. And so they have to make more and more laws. The European Union, they had, because the Bible is not a part of, you know, their... you know, they're not focused on it. They had to cover every bit of ground. They had to explain what a marriage was. They had to explain everything. And that's why you get 2,200 pages. And if you'll notice, we're getting a lot of judicial activism. We're getting Congress passing more crazy laws and everything else. And a lot of that is to try and replace what we've understood to be the law or to be the norm. Based on biblical principles, which we are slowly moving away from. But I'm glad to see that I think a lot of people in this country are standing up now, starting to say, we've had enough.
Yeah.
Oh, I absolutely think it's a revival. Yeah. You know, I know we pray for it every day, that it is a revival across this nation. And I don't know how you can look at the decades, mm-hmm. and see where it went wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and see how, you know, I tried to read an article today. I don't even remember how I got to it. And trying to follow up and research on something. And the articles took me to more secular, popular entertainment type. And they were talking about a single man. And they kept talking about they. And I was like, who was he with? And then they would say them.
Is this the pronoun thing?
Yes.
Oh,
and I'm like, what? I thought it was one person. Oh, was it multiple people? I was so confused. And then I realized what was happening.
Multiple personalities. Yes.
And I was disgusted. And I can't even read a magazine article without, you know, this is absolutely ridiculous. And of course.
So let's introduce you to Schizophrenic Fred.
Exactly. I felt schizophrenic reading it. So anyway, when you start to see where, you know, we stop saying the Pledge of Allegiance. We stopped praying in school. We stopped praying at home. You know, we stopped having these things, these reading the Bible together as a family. When we stopped doing those things and slowly but surely got more worldly.
Yeah.
And
we stopped doing family things. Yeah. We stopped having dinner together. We stopped, you know, the TV became the babysitter. Is one of the big problems that we have.
Technology is the babysitter today.
Yeah.
I cannot stand to be out and see a baby, a toddler.
Or the mom's phone. The kids playing with mom's phone.
No, mom's on the phone. Dad's on the phone.
And the baby has their own phone.
They have their own, phone that went to the baby.
Disgusting. Right. Absolutely disgusting.
You pointed out something you may not realize. The things that social media, like Facebook and Twitter and all those are doing also, is they're steering you away from God.
Well, they make it normal.
Yeah.
They make it normal.
Right.
I can tell you that there are so many, what is it called, TikTok, Instagram, those little short clips. Yeah. There are so many of a kid being bratty, sassy, mm-hmm. cussing a parent out, mm-hmm. cussing a teacher out, cussing cops out. And, you know, they'll get a million views. Right? To see a child praying or see a child singing a godly song, they can repeat everything to a nasty Cardi B song or, mm-hmm. you know, they can do every word to that. But to say the Lord's Prayer, they wouldn't have a clue.
Right.
You know, and this is what's being promoted. This is funny.
Oh,
this is ha-ha.
Right.
This is normal.
Right.
But all of this was intended.
Oh, absolutely.
Intended to move us away
absolutely.
From God because... And I've had people, I've been in discussions with people about different things, and they would say, well, let's leave the Bible out of this. And I'd say, no, you can't leave the Bible, because this country was founded on the fact that we have a creator, and that is that creator that gave us our rights. So if you leave the Bible out and you say there is no creator, well, then we don't have any inalienable rights. And if we, the only other place we can get rights, if not from our creator, is from man. It's from the government.
You're right.
I just want to mention, one of the things you talked about was the family having dinner together.
Yeah.
And one of the side effects, unintended consequences, whatever word you choose to use, of the family not having dinner together is the kids growing up have lost the ability of intergenerational communication.
Right.
They can't communicate with people other than their own peer group. And that is a whole different thing, because that influences their learning. They're not hearing what people of the other generation say. They're not learning from the mistakes of their parents and their parents' friends. They're only taking the guidance of their peers who are doing the same stupid things they're doing.
Yep.
And it's really had a negative impact on our culture.
Well, there's so many other things, too, that come from that. Mom would be in the kitchen, and the daughter was in there learning how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a lot of fast food, stick it in the microwave. So they've lost all those
skills.
Yeah, that they would learn from mom or grandma or whatever. They've lost the communication skills you're talking about. There's just so many things wrong with when we replaced the family time together with technology.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be clear that there is a place for the technology, right? There is, you know, if you have a show you want to watch or a movie you want to watch, what we're saying is, you know, don't go back to sitting around with a candle and the Bible and kids gathered around your knee for hours and hours. That's not...
It's time and place.
There is a time and place. And, you know, my parents raised 5 kids. Every single one of us had sports. And yeah, there were some crazy nights, but my biggest memories of childhood is cooking with my mom, setting the table, and eating with my family and rushing off to do a sport. You know, we did things together as a family. And with my children, same thing. We did things as a family with my parents. You know, so they are super close to their grandparents and super close to their cousins. To this day, they're in their 20s. They all get together. It's priority. You have to say, you know what, yes, you can watch that TV show, but we're going to sit down and read the Bible either before or after. It's your choice.
Yeah, family,
you
know, has to be important.
Just like you have to do your homework, and I'm going to sit down and do it with you. You just can't check out. And that, for so long, that's what happened.
Right. Well, we need to take another break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back and continue this conversation.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call again. Our guest tonight is Michael Speciale, who was House District 3 representative here in North Carolina for how many terms? Four terms. And he was a strong conservative voice, and one thing I remember about you, Michael, is what you used to weigh out how you were going to make your decisions. And that was, first, you went to the Bible. It had to square with God. It had to square with the nation's constitution, and then with the state constitution. And if it passed those three things, then you were on board with it. And I'd love to see a lot of other representatives use those guidelines, and maybe someday we will.
Also how term limits work.
Yeah.
they said, how long do you plan on being up there when I ran? And I said 3 or 4 terms. And so I left at the end of 4 terms. I didn't run again. That's how you do term limits.
Right. Michael did not lose. He decided not to run again, and that's what he's talking about with his term limits. Okay, so let's move on. Next thing was to restore to all levels of government the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded.
Can I just make a comment before we leave what Melissa was talking about?
Sure.
You're talking about a revival of Christianity, and I'm very encouraged to see that when people are looking at why things are going wrong and why we are so, our society is degrading and decaying, they automatically associate that with the removal of God and removal of a religion. So I'm glad to see that the revival is because they recognize that we've lost religion, emphasis on religion. And I also wanted to point out a really interesting bit of history. When in the Philadelphia Convention in 1787, when they were writing the U.S. Constitution, they were getting too hot-headed, and it seemed like they would not be able to compromise and come up with a plan. So Ben Franklin, who was the oldest member, he was 81 at the time, he said, "Wait, guys, you know," he goes, "I think we need to pause. I think we need to pray." It's something that's been missing from this convention is prayer, and he gave what amounted to 14 lines in that. It was off the cuff, he didn't prepare it, 14 lines. And in those 14 lines, he brought up 14 biblical verses.
Wow.
Yeah. And he didn't have to cite them. Everybody knew where they were.
Yeah, anyway. I'm going to jump back real quick also to when we were talking about the politics in the church, to a thought I had, and I never got it out. And that's the confusion with politics and sin. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times now in the church, if you start talking about sin, oh, you're being political.
Right.
You're being political. Yeah. No, it's not political. It has nothing to do. Yes, it can be made a political issue, and it has been made a political issue, but it's a biblical issue.
Yes.
When it's sin, and it's not political to me. Michael, how do we take care of all this?
We take care of it by educating ourselves, by getting involved. CCTA has great programs for training to teach people what's about God and country. God and Country Christian Alliance is getting into that arena. Matter of fact, we've got our God and Country banquet coming up September 19th. And our guest speaker is William Federer, and he's a nationally known speaker, best-selling author, president of Amerisearch, which is a publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble heritage. He has a passion for American history. We heard from him a couple years ago. We had him come speak. However, he didn't have all the materials that he needed to have at that time. And this time, we're going to make sure he has everything. We didn't have a projector for him, so he gave a PowerPoint presentation without PowerPoint. So, and it was interesting. And it was an interesting presentation. I want to see the PowerPoint. So, but this is how we get educated. There's things going on. There's programs going on, and there's organizations across the state that are offering these things. And we've got to get up off the couch. We've got to stand up and we've got to learn how to debate. We've got to learn how to debate and discuss the issues with those that we're discussing the issues on. And that's a lot of the problem, is we don't know how to defend our positions. We know what we believe, but we don't always know how to defend them.
Right.
And there's ways to do that.
And one of the other things that your organization does every year is these March for Life, Stand for Life. And this year and last year both, we had quite a good-sized crowd.
Yeah, we had about 100 people standing beside the road here a couple months ago in June for the it's like the Life Chain. It was the same thing. We get out there, we hold signs in support of life. We don't talk. We don't acknowledge drivers, or we just stand alongside the road and we hold them, and for 1 hour, and we stand there and we pray. We'll be doing this again the first weekend in October. It's always the first Sunday in October. We do it from 2:15 to 3:30. We're there. 2:15 to 2:30, we're getting our signs. We provide
right.
the signs, and then at 2:30, we're standing there, and that's all we do, is just pray and to ourselves and sing some songs on the back of the cards that we're holding.
Talking about God and Country, this is a shameless plug, but my blog is for Love of God and Country, and that blog, I post all my articles on there, but I also educate, and the articles on my blog site are mostly for education purposes.
Right, and you have the background for doing that.
I try. I do try.
Yeah. Okay, Michael, you were talking about the original organization, and I flipped over this rack card that we have here. And on the back it says that the organization was organized in 1944 in New Bern.
94.
What did I say, 44?
Yeah.
94. 1994 in New Bern, North Carolina, the Craven Pamlico Christian Coalition was started by a group of very concerned Christian citizens from the counties of Craven and Pamlico to address the cultural issues of our day. The group began primarily to discuss and effect change for some of our television programming. And ironically, that's what we were sitting here talking about.
Yeah.
And the issues quickly spread to include abortion, pornography, education, and the overall decline of our country's moral compass. So that's the focus of the organization today. But due to the group's expanding influence beyond Craven and Pamlico counties, in order to maintain proper focus, the name change came to be God and Country Christian Alliance, and that changed in 2017. And same thing with CCTA. CCTA started out as Craven County Taxpayers Association, and now we have spread out to all the surrounding counties. We're Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, and I'm glad that we have united the two organizations together and worked together so well. If you want to know more about either of the organizations, godandcountrync.org is the website for God and Country Christian Alliance. That's godandcountrync.org. You can visit their website and they'll keep you up to date on the banquet that's coming up and the other events that take place. And they meet once a month at Moore's Barbecue here.
Third Monday of each month.
Third Monday of each month at Moore's Barbecue. But that's probably going to change because you're filling the room up now. And we're going to have to find a bigger place to meet at. That's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
So, again, that's God and Country, NC.org. And Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association is cctaxpayers.com. And we'd like for you to visit both of those websites and learn more about the organizations and get involved.
And the CCTA meetings are what, every Tuesday?
The third Tuesday of every month, right after the third Monday on
God. We meet on Monday, you meet on Tuesday.
On the following Tuesday, right.
You know, Rick, I want to roll back to 1994. If people will remember, with it was the Clinton White House. But
I tried not to.
Some very vocal people, Tipper Gore, was demanding that the lyrics of a lot of records be put on the outside. I'm bringing up the word
the
records.
That's a wife.
Al Gore's wife Tipper, at the time, demanded that they put the lyrics on there so that parents knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. Now, here we are, how many years later? Almost 30 years later, that we're not allowed to know what's going on within the school system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you remember George Carlin came out with the 7 things you can't say on TV.
Now you can say them.
Well, not only can you say them, you can show them. You can do anything you want to with it. We have lost our moral compass. But the good news is, I think this generation that's coming up now, I'm seeing their eyes opening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I have heard reports and seen figures on it that they want to be more like their grandparents than their parents.
I think they're looking at the current generation, the woke crowd, and they're saying they're acting so disgusting and despicable that they don't want to be like them.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's something that has to happen. They have to.
Not only that, we all know that mainstream media is, they lie to you. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the young folks are starting to figure that out.
Yeah.
They're starting to see what's actually happening versus what they're being told is happening.
Yeah.
And they're starting to figure it out.
Remember when Hillary called us the deplorables?
Yes.
For the life of me, I look around, I think we're the normals.
Yeah.
And the other side is, I don't mean to get political at all, but, you know, we know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that how that works? If you can control the vocabulary, you can control the argument.
Yeah.
And that's why we should not be acquiescing to all of that garbage.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Nobody's going to tell me what pronouns I need to use on somebody else.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Pronouns are used by other people.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to pick your own pronouns.
Right.
It's
right.
What other people refer to you as, and you don't get to tell other people how to speak.
And right. The other part, take a look at the abortion debate. Why is it pro-choice and not pro-abortion?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it anti-abortion rather than pro-life?
Yep.
Words mean things, and the liberal press uses them very carefully, and we need to, number one, learn how to do that. Number two, learn how to fight that.
Well, we need to call them out and correct them.
Yeah.
That's one thing where we sat back and we didn't call them out.
Did you hear that someone, I don't know if it's who he is, but he's a reporter, and he put out a tweet announcing the obituary of Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito?
No.
Yeah. He eventually removed it. This is a reporter. And they didn't. I don't know how it got through the editorial, the review committee, but they posted it.
Well, it's the fact that
that's how far we've gotten.
Yeah, they can get away with pretty much anything, but no, if you're a Christian, conservative.
Yeah. And who's the deplorable, situation?
And they are very skilled at pointing the finger and accusing you of exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
you know?
Well, you know, I don't think it's wrong. I think I read the opinion, and I posted an analysis of the opinion, but the Dobbs opinion was correctly decided, I believe, and reasoned, right? You know, that's what you're supposed to do, interpret the Constitution. But anyway, I don't see why it's so bad for a Supreme Court to say, well, you can't just outright, you don't have the right to kill another human being, you know, which is what's happening when in abortion. You're killing another human being. And that's the decision put back to the states.
Again,
they want to do it, but
they've changed the definition of life. Yeah. When does it start? When
they've dehumanized
fetus.
Yeah. They've dehumanized
embryo,
yeah.
Zygote,
and that's what they do. If they dehumanize certain populations, those that can't speak for themselves, and when you dehumanize, it's easy to eradicate. It's easier to send them away, round them up, kill them.
Well, that's how the Holocaust started.
Exactly.
First of all, they put the yellow stars to identify them. Yeah. Then they had Kristallnacht, where they destroyed their businesses. And they created the idea in the public mind that the reason that the people of Germany were suffering was because the Jews had all the money and all the power. And all they had to do was push that narrative long enough, and people bought into it and weren't necessarily paying attention or didn't really care when the Jews were taken away. I mean, there were a lot of Germans that denied that they knew about it. And when Eisenhower came in and liberated one of the concentration camps, he made the residents of the nearby town walk through that camp.
Exactly.
Other than photographing everything, because he said there will come a day when the Holocaust is denied, I want visual evidence that it happened.
The Nazis, this is interesting, the Nazis, they had segregation laws, right, to get the Jews out of you know, the society, denying them property rights, denying them the right to have business, all that kind of stuff. They got those segregation laws from the South, from the American South, right, the Democrats, Southern Democrats. They got the eugenics policy from Margaret Sanger. An idol to the Democrats.
Yep.
So, you know, we, as bad as we condemn the Nazis, they got their ideas from here in America.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you know, like I was saying, I think this generation now, what they're calling it, reawakening.
Yeah.
And they're starting to open their eyes and see these things. And, you know, it's not, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to realize that the most godless areas of our country are where all the crime and debauchery, you know, and they don't want to live there. They don't want to be a part of it. They don't want to live in it. So they're figuring these things out. And it's up to us as Christians and the churches and you pastors that stand in the pulpit. It's time to take that stand. It's time to call them out. It's time to quit letting them get away with it. You can stand in that pulpit and you can call sin, sin, and it's not political, it's biblical. You can stand in that pulpit and you can talk about the candidates that are running and you can expose them for their sins.
Yeah, and for their stand on issues.
Right, you can expose that. You can't tell, like Michael said, you can't tell me who to vote for, but you can tell me who's running. And what?
And their positions. Yeah. Yes.
Right.
And churches put those like palm cards out. They send them out in hundreds and hundreds about where
issues,
all the candidates stand on. Yeah, family issues, abortion, that kind of stuff.
There's so many websites, Christian websites that put out Christian voter guides every election cycle.
Guys, it's no longer acceptable to say I didn't know who to vote for because there's too much information out there. We are the most informed generation in history, newest generation. Believe it or not, they're the first generation in 50 years that are, as a generation, are pro-life.
Well, we need to take another break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols. Buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to buy a present, be inspired, and have your spirits lifted? It's easy. Just visit Carolina Creations at 317 Pollock Street in downtown New Bern. You'll find an amazing array of gallery-worthy paintings, one-of-a-kind jewelry, pottery, glassware, greeting cards, personal adornments, and all sorts of temptations. Everything is displayed to please the eye. Prices run the gamut from a few dollars to a few thousand dollars. Many items are by local artists and artisans. Carolina Creations has been voted Best Gallery, Best Gift Shop, and Best Jewelry Store by the Sun Journal's readers. Stop in and see why. The friendly, knowledgeable staff will let you browse to your heart's content or swing into helpful mode if that's needed. You'll enjoy a visit to Carolina Creations. That's a promise.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, Michael Speciale, our guest tonight, and he's president of God and Country Christian Alliance, and he's been talking to us about the organization. And Michael, what you got some wrap up here on?
We need everybody to start standing up and all the things that they believe in to start fighting the fight, you know, to get out there and stand up and represent what you represent. For years, we left the other side alone, those who came up with some of this craziness that we've got going on in this country, and we allowed it. We didn't want to make waves. We didn't want to start anything, so we didn't say anything. So theirs were the only voices that got heard. It's time now for our voices. It's past time. We owe it. Our time is past. It's the next generation. It's our grandkids and our great-grandkids. That's who we're doing this for, and we need to keep that focus that we need to leave for them what was left for us. And, you know, if the World War II veterans were still here today, we wouldn't have the problems we have.
All right.
Okay. And if you want to get an idea of what the lengths they would go to, just Google incident in Athens, Tennessee after World War II.
Yeah.
Read it. It's a true story of what happened. And that's why a lot of this stuff, because these guys were dying off, and they would have stood up and said, no, this is not happening.
All right. And we do it individually in small numbers, but we have got to come out as a united group of Christians, conservatives, patriots, and that's what's so bad about this January 6th thing. It's put the fear in people to stand up because they're afraid they're going to be treated the same way these prisoners up there in D.C. are being treated unconstitutionally.
I kind of disagree with Michael on one point. Our time has not come. Our time is now, because we know what America was like when we were young.
Yep.
And it's totally different from what our country looks like today. So we educate. We are the ones to educate. And so I don't minimize the elderly, or, you know, I don't, whatever. I don't want to call us elderly, because I don't feel.
You should just call us all elderly.
Yeah, something like that.
What I was getting at is we're not doing it for ourselves.
Yeah, we're not doing it for ourselves. Right. And that's true. So I just urge everybody that's conservative, everybody that's Christian, to get out and vote. The primary election was abysmal.
Yep.
The turnout was horrible. If we want to take our country back, we have to get good representatives. And the way we get good representatives is to do our homework, research the candidates, and vote for them so that come November, we have the best, the most Christian.
Folks,
and you need to talk with your neighbors about the candidates.
Yes.
Folks, if you don't vote, you don't have a right to complain.
Right. That's right.
And not just that, you need to stand up in your church and call your pastor out if he's not doing his job.
Yeah.
Okay? You need to call other people out. You got to quit turning your back on it and letting it continue to go on and on and on. If your church is accepting of sin, like you pointed out, Melissa, during Pride Month, look at all the different signs and stuff that the churches are putting out. You need to call them out. And if you can't make a change, find a better church.
Exactly. Excellent. That was the point I was making earlier today. I've gone to a different denomination church because I want to support that church because they're doing the right thing.
Right, right. All right, well, that's all the time we have for today's show. CCTA Wake Up Call airs on Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. and again on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. Sunday evenings. I hope you'll tune in and listen to us each and every week. Also, we have our public meeting the third Tuesday of every month, and we hope you'll take time to come and spend that evening with us. This month, our program is going to be a forum with all the school board candidates in Craven County have been invited. We'll see how many of them show up, but that's the program for the month of August. And we hope to see you there.
And our meetings are held at Stanley Hall Ballroom, downtown New Bern. There's an entrance on 249 Craven Street with an elevator, and another one at 305 Pollock Street. Take the stairs to the second floor. Our meetings start at 7 o'clock, but if you get there around 6:30, you can mingle with the crowd and get to know some of our folks. And we just want you to come out and join us.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.